I want to, this morning now, through the part of the good news about Jesus that we find in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, I want to lead you into a deep burden of Jesus that he has for all humans, including those whom are his disciples. I'm conscious this morning that some of you come just exploring the Christian faith, and I can say without hesitancy that the burden that Jesus has for the human heart includes your heart. And that in fact, what I will be sharing, while it may seem sobering, is actually good news. What a wonderful gift that our great God cares about our hearts. So this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible with you, we do have some in the back. Invite you, if you are becoming a regular participant in this community, to bring your own Bible, even if it is in a different language than English, because we usually try to stay with one passage during the message portion of the service. As we prepare to look at the events that take place in Mark 7, verses 1 through 23, let me state clearly what Jesus says at the end of this episode, which reflects the burden of his heart. He says, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, is what pollutes them," is another way to say that. "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come." And then he lists some of them. You can think of others. "Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." What I want to do with you in the time that I speak with you this morning is to look at the critique Jesus gives of certain religious leaders who put human traditions about holiness ahead of commands about the human heart. I then want to look at a parable that Jesus gives as a corrective that basically says the same thing. And then come back to what I just read to you to look in detail at the content of Jesus' concern, the content of the human heart that Jesus is burdened about. After doing so, I am going to invite us to respond in a very simple way to the following invitation. As a few of us, and James, if you could help organize that, as a few of us stand around the auditorium holding some of these, not now, these willow branches, I want to invite you to take one so that from this day forward, you will remember Palm Sunday as a day to celebrate that Jesus has come to change the human heart. And he can. And he can. Look with me now at this passage. "The Pharisees and some teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem, from the religious establishment, gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed." And the concern here wasn't like we have that you wash your hands before you eat. There was a certain ceremonial nature to this washing, which is now explained. "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles." Again, they're not thinking of normal cleanliness, but of a certain act that leads to holiness in their minds. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites." How would you like to ask a question and have the response be so rough? Whoa, sorry I asked. "As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips.'" So seats here in the front, please come join us. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." And then he explains it further, this critique he has of this kind of human tradition around holiness. He says, "You have let go the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said," and now he gives an example, "honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, or that is, an offering to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify or you negate the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him. Now we move into the parable, and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. And here's what he says, "Are you so dull?" He asked, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them?" This is one of those moments where usually the interpretation of the parable is something different. He just repeats the parable. "Are you so dull? Do I need to say it again? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And he went on. "What comes out of a person is what defiles them." He says it again. "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile or pollute a person." Join me in a prayer. We are so grateful that the law is not something now just external, but that your Spirit has written your word in our lives. And your Spirit stirs within us an awareness of our sin and of the truth about Jesus and his forgiveness and cleansing and the truth about what it means to walk in Christ and not walk according to human traditions. O Lord, may your Spirit teach us now from your word and make us attentive to your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look now at this critique. So please keep your Bibles open. That begins this passage. This critique of these Pharisees and teachers of the law who have come to check out Jesus once again. And as they check him out, they're gathered around him, but not so tightly that they don't happen to see that his disciples weren't doing the ceremonial washing required. And so they ask Jesus why they don't keep this tradition of the elders. Now, this tradition of the elders that they're referring to goes to an Old Testament teaching that then had attached to it another teaching that the elders then lifted up as a standard for guarding holiness. Now the teaching actually, and you don't need to turn to it, comes from Leviticus 1 verse 2, where Moses is teaching the people that when they bring an offering, when they bring a korban, when they bring something to God, that's all it's referring to, and then it goes on to talk about the kind of offerings that they can bring to God. So that concept of devoting something to God is what this particular stream of elders teaching, so the religious establishment, what came to be common teaching, held up. And they attached to it something from Numbers, which talks about the making of vows. Let me read what it says. Moses said to the heads of the tribes of Israel, "This is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to oblige himself by a pledge, he must not break his word and must do everything he said." So what was being taught is that when something was offered to the Lord, even if it was done rashly, even if it was done under pressure, even if it was done impulsively, it had the makings of a vow that could not be compromised. What happened then is this became so important, as Jesus points out, that other commands of God were ignored because you made your vow. Because you've made the offering, you've made a vow about it, therefore that takes precedence. So money and support that was to be committed to parents to honor their father and mother and not to curse them, if rashly it had been offered to God, in this context, it took precedence. So Jesus is saying, what are you doing? You are taking a human tradition, even if it seemed to arise from God's word, elevating it to a certain standard of holiness that takes precedent, that supersedes, that stands above all the other commands of God. And then he says, there's many other things that you do like this. Now, I don't have time to look closely at this critique this morning, except to say, you understand this, because it happens all the time. When a certain teaching from Scripture, such as the giving of offerings, gets attached to it such strength that it has the power of a vow. But if I don't do this, I won't be holy. If I don't do this, I won't experience God's favor. If I do this, this is the basis by which splinter groups get formed. Because often taking things from God's word, they elevate them. This is what it means to be a holy person. This is what you need to do to get close to God. But you do this in your own life as well. This is a tremendous danger for new Christians. It was a danger when I was a new Christian. Where God teaches you something from the Bible, and you're convicted of it, and you're convinced that everyone else needs to be convicted of it too, right now. So you preach it. You preach it to your parents, you preach it to your siblings, you preach it to your work associates, and you wonder why they think you're crazy. Because you've taken one teaching of God's word and elevated it above the others. And you often share that teaching with arrogance, with pride, with anger, with slander. Oops. Things of the human heart that rob it of any power or truth that there might be. Do I need to speak more on this? We understand this tendency. And you have to realize that the Pharisees emerged as a strength Because they were so burdened that God's people had abandoned God. They weren't these evil intended people. They were so burdened that God's people had abandoned God, and they wanted to devote themselves to knowing God's law that they might present themselves as holy to God, that their worship might be holy to them. Their motives were right until Jesus came and they didn't welcome Him who is our source of holiness. If all their focus had led to welcoming our source of holiness, it would have been different. But instead, they held on to their traditions and rejected our source of holiness. Which can also happen to us. This is what it means to be holy. This is what you need to do to be righteous. Where is Jesus? Well, yeah, He helps us. Where is Jesus? He is our source of holiness only, not our own acts of righteousness. Never. Whenever you hear teaching that differentiates amongst Christians, oh, they're holy because they're not, because Jesus wants none of it. We are all equally in need of a Savior and the righteousness that He gives. And that's why He was so abrupt in His critique of the Pharisees and these teachers of the law, speaking in harsh words, the words of the prophet Isaiah that were spoken of the people at that time, in Isaiah's time, and directing them specifically to these teachers of the law whom He calls as hypocrites. As we look at the critique, now look at the parable that Jesus gives to the people, in which He simply says what comes out of a person defiles them or ruins them or pollutes them. That's what He says. It's not what goes in that defiles them. It's not what goes in that ruins them. It's not what goes in that pollutes them. It's what comes out. And as I alluded to earlier, this is one of the moments where the disciples, who are sometimes a bit slow, come to Jesus and say, let's ask Him for, He's always given us interpretations. Let's ask for one so we're sure we get it right. And He just nails them. Are you so dull? It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. One paraphrase of this passage says the following, where Jesus says, not are you dull, He says, are you being willfully stupid? Don't you see that what you swallow can't contaminate you? It doesn't enter your heart, but your stomach works its way through the intestines and is finally flushed. Okay, I think I understand now. Jesus makes it clear from this parable that this is not difficult to understand. Right? Sometimes He spoke in parables, leaving people wondering. He did not hear, because it is not difficult to understand. So now let's look at the content of what He says. He now has said four times, look at verse 15. What comes out of a person defiles. Verse 18. Verse 18, the opposite of that. Verse 20, what comes out of a person defiles them. And verse 23, all these evils come from inside and defile a person. Four times He says the same thing. So now let's look at what comes out. And what I want to do is I want to simply state examples of the evil that can come from the heart. And I looked up several translations and paraphrases to add richness, if one can do so, to this pollution. So we each see it clearly in ourselves. None of us here are exempt from this work of God. And after we look at the need for this work in our lives, what I am longing is that you will be attentive to it in your life. That you will not miss it while you're doing work for Jesus. You will not miss it when you're at your work, when you're at your school, when you're in your home, when you're in your private place, when you're in a public place. That you will not miss it when you pray for the world, but that you will recognize this burdened work that Jesus does. But I want us to take a further step. I want to invite us to welcome this work. That as we see the need for this work in our lives, we won't say, I don't have time for this. But that we will welcome it as part of the good news of the gospel. So let's look at the content of what can come out of the heart, your heart, my heart. Sexual immorality, obscenities, this is all now synonyms or words that describe, lusts, vulgar deeds, vulgar thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, stealing, the desire to take something from another for oneself, believing one has the right to do so. Theft, murder, killing, desiring evil intent toward the other, or said simply, boy, I wish. And you finish the sentence. Murder. Adultery. Unfaithfulness in marriage. Looking at another lustfully. Desiring that other to possess for oneself. Adultery. Greed. Self-indulgence. The desire for more and more and more. Never being satisfied. Greed. Malice. Hatred. Spite. Nastiness. Cruelty. Malice. Deceit. Dishonesty. Cheating. Trickery. Deceptive dealing. Deceit. Lewdness. Rudeness. Carousing. Partying. Indecent conduct. The desire to be free. I added that. That's lewdness. Envy. Mean looks. An evil eye. Because you wish you were what they are. Envy. Slander. Are we doing okay? How's your heart? Slander. Malicious representation. That is, representing another wrongly in a manner that pushes them down. Abusive, evil speaking, slander, arrogance, uplifted heart against God and over humans, arrogance, I don't think I need to say more, and finally, folly, lack of sense. Reckless, thoughtless, foolish, folly. And he says, after giving this sample list, all these evils come from inside and defile a person. And let me give that in two different translations as well, paraphrases. The one paraphrase says, all these are vomit from the heart. If we need a more descriptive word, find one on your own. All these are vomit from the heart. There is the source of your pollution. Another translation. All of these come from your heart, and they are what make you unfit to worship God. Now let me say again. This burden that Jesus has for which he came to work on the human heart involves surfacing in us that which pollutes. That surfacing in us that which pollutes is his work. It's not repentance. It's called the work. It's making us aware of sin so that we're convicted that it's wrong. So if you're too busy with your work to pay attention to this priority work, what are you doing? So you brush people off because you have important work to do. Right? You do a host of these things because of all the work you have to do. It's, I deserve this. I don't have time to deal with this. What are we doing? This is the work of Jesus to surface this awareness of sin in our lives. And then to welcome it. And to say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you once again for showing me this area in my life where I need to change. Thank you once again for showing me in my life this area where I need to change. Now, if you're not a Christian, as this work begins to surface in you, you say, how can I change? And it should bring you to Jesus and say, I can't. Will you change me? But for those of us that are Christians, we can come back to Jesus standing in his forgiveness, standing in his grace, and saying, thank you that as I stand in Christ, you can yet show me more ways that I can grow in Christ. Either way, it's a work to welcome, to come before Jesus and ask that he begins to make those changes in you. I don't have more to say, except that the burden of Jesus to change our hearts is a priority for which he's come. It was promised by the prophets. It is good news. It is what will change the nations of the world, will it not? As God changes the human heart from the hostility that drives violence to instead have surface in the heart that which reflects Christ. But it's a work that we must join God in. With that, I want to share a funny story to close so that you know that I'm not exempt from this. I was so convicted last Sunday from the passage we looked at. I don't even dare tell you all the ways I was convicted. And what makes it harder is that then I go home and get ready for Sunday evening and I was convicted by that passage. So I got this double whammy on Sunday. And then Tuesday night, those of you that are part of the manuscript journey through the Gospel of Mark, who are really taking hold of this, showed up and were sharing from your manuscript all the more things you discovered. And I made the mistake of saying, what are some ways that, you know, God is leading you to apply this to your lives? And people shared all these things which convicted me of more areas in my life where I needed to change. Now the problem was, I knew I would be preaching on this today. And I was exhausted from all the areas where he had already shown me where I needed to change. And I wasn't attentive to this work. And I didn't welcome it. So I started to become sour. I found myself slandering, none of you, but doesn't matter. I found some of these very things servicing in my life. And what did it lead me to do? Had to apologize to my wife for something. We won't get into the details of that either. But it led me to come to Jesus. Again. And to thank Him for showing me yet again areas of my heart that need to change. And welcoming once again the fact that that change is happening while I stand in His grace. And here's what happened. My joy began to come back. I started to hunger for God's Word again. Good thing, because Sunday was coming. And I was ready for us to grow in Christ again together. But what about you? On this Palm Sunday, do we welcome that Jesus has come to change our hearts? And He can. And if you have questions, are we so dull that we don't see this work that He's doing in our lives? Sometimes I am. And I think sometimes you are too.